Good morning, this is Sunday, the 10th of May, 2020. And the reading for this morning is John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Here ends the reading. So John chapter 14, and there's much in this that is familiar. The first six verses is usually read at a funeral. That's verses that I like to read, and in particular because of verse 6, where Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that is the truth. If we want to go to God, we've got to go through Jesus. But I believe that what God wants me to talk about today is perhaps a greater truth that's within that. Because Jesus then says in verse 7, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." When we hear Jesus speak, it is the truth, because he is God. We know that and believe that. But the disciples, they were faced with a man just like one of us. A man, a person, a human being. And they had to believe that Jesus was God by faith, because their senses just, you know, how could this be God? Because he just looks like us. He sleeps like us. He eats like us. He talks like us. He does all the things that we have to do. And yet, there was that time where Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus had said to him, this was revealed to him by God. And so much of that, we don't stop to meditate on or to think on. We just take it as it is, as gospel. We take it as being the truth. Because we don't allow ourselves to think deeper, to contemplate what is happening, what is being said, what the reactions of the disciples are. Because for them, it was very difficult to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, because they lived with him. And at times we don't think of that. So Jesus said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him as in you know the Father and have seen him, that is the Father, because you've seen me. Now we know later that Paul reveals to us in Colossians that the fullness of the Godhead indwells Jesus bodily. So that if you have Jesus, and you've heard me say this in past sermons, that if you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father and you've seen the Holy Spirit. And we know that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, that we've been raised up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenlies. And that right now, Jesus is on the right-hand side of the Father. But equally as well, if you've seen the Father, then you've seen Jesus. And if you've seen the Father, you've also seen the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord our God is one God. He's not three. And yet he's revealed himself as being three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit at the end, finally, Jesus goes on in John chapter 16 to talk about how he must go so that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, will come and he will lead us into all truth. And he alludes to that a bit here also, as we'll see as I read on in John chapter 14. But the Bible tells us as well that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit wherein he dwells, so that whenever we come to faith, whenever we trust that Jesus is God and that he is the only way to the Father, whenever we trust and believe and receive him as our Saviour and choose and dedicate our lives to follow him and submit to him as Lord, as the Bible says and as Jesus said to Nicodemus, we are then born again. We're born from above. And when we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And so the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, lives in me, lives in my spirit, my earthly spirit that used to be dead, that indeed died, and I was born again with a new spirit. From Thessalonians, I have a new spirit. May God sanctify you completely, spirit, soul, and body. And so the Holy Spirit lives in me. But because the Holy Spirit lives in me, so then does Jesus, and so then does the Father. Because if you see one, you see the other, or the other two in a sense. But it's all God. God, Almighty God, lives in each of us who have trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And so in verse 7, as Jesus says, if you'd known me, Jesus, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him, talking about the Father. And that makes it even more wonderful and amazing and sad when you read the next verse. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. He's standing there looking at Jesus, and Jesus has just told him, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And obviously Philip was looking at him as a man, and he wasn't looking at Jesus in faith. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. I believe that we would have done exactly the same thing. And we do it so often because we look at the package. We look at people. We don't look at the spirit within. We don't so often do that. And yet we're encouraged time and time and time again to discern things spiritually, to look beyond what our eyes tell us and to hear the voice of God witness about people that we meet, that we know within our own hearts that, yes, they're of the kingdom of God. Yes, they are of the same spirit that I'm of. And equally as well, they may be saying the right things, but I don't get a testimony, a witness in my spirit that they're of God. And we need to be like that with people so that partly we know what to say. We know when we can fellowship with people and are talking the things of God and building each other up. Or we know whenever perhaps we need to be witnessing, or we need to be sensitive, encouraging people to not be reliant on themselves, but to be reliant on Jesus, to turn to him And so therefore, to know God completely, spirit, soul, and body, to know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But let's read on. Jesus said then to Philip in verse 9, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip?" And he's talking about the real man. He's talking about himself as being God. He's reinforcing what he's just said in the previous verses. "If you've seen me, Philip, you know the Father. Have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? It would have been the same as if he had said to him, "Philip, why are you so faithless? Why are you not operating out of faith? Why are you still looking at me with your eyes and hearing me with your ears? You need to open your heart, Philip. You need to listen with your spirit. Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? Verse 10, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" As I said, what Paul tells us from Colossians, the fullness of the Godhead indwells Jesus bodily. Verse 10, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." And this very much then, in a sense, is Jesus perhaps pointing to his humanity. And this is the bit that is very much necessary for us all, because we need to be aware that we need Jesus's the Holy Spirit to be able to do things, because Jesus didn't operate as God while he was on the earth. He operated as a man, but the Son of God and Son of Man, he operated as a fleshly human being and was reliant upon the Father within him, who told him whenever he met with him in prayer, the Holy Spirit who was in him, that had come down on him at his baptism in the River Jordan by John, where John had testified that "I saw heaven open and the Holy Spirit descend on him in the form of a dove." Jesus needed the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He needed God as Father and the Holy Spirit with him to do the things that he did. And as he's saying here, "But the Father who dwells in me does the works." In other words, I don't do them by myself. It's the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit in him, who did the miracles that he did. And the reason why this is important is because we then can do miracles. We then can heal the sick. And we may be going, "But hold on a minute, I'm just a man, I'm just a woman, I'm only a human being." And yes, that's true if you're not born again. But the wonderful truth is, if you are born again, then you have the Spirit of God within you. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have received the Holy Spirit with power, like Jesus did out of his baptism. Because Jesus, before his baptism in the River Jordan, had the Father and the Holy Spirit with him, but he never did any miracles because he didn't have the power. He wasn't able to. That's why no miracles were recorded until after his baptism in the River Jordan, because the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit came with power. And that's the same thing for us. Whenever we receive the Holy Spirit with power at the baptism in the Holy Spirit, after we've been born again, the scriptures tell us that we should ask the Father if we need the Holy Spirit, and he will give it. We need the power
to be able to do what God has called us to do. And so Jesus goes on and he says this. So let me read that again. Verse 11, Jesus says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." So there he goes. I was able to do them because the Father's in me. All right. And then he says this in verse 12. "Most assuredly." Now that is just so funny, because it's like he's having to back up his word. Every word that Jesus spoke is gospel. Every word that Jesus ever spoke is the word of God. It is truth. All of it. For him to say "most assuredly," it's like he's trying to encourage the disciples and us. You know, this is really, really important. But as I said, every word that he spoke was really important. So let's see what he says. Verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Read that again. Verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you," Jesus says to you. And he's talking to his disciples there, but he's talking to us as well. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do," that is the works that Jesus does, "the works that I do," he, talking about the disciples and talking about us, "he will do also, and greater works than these," greater works than Jesus did, "and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." And that's the bit that links in with John 16, whenever he talked to the disciples about how he must go so that the Helper can come. And part of it is because Jesus was limited to one place. Jesus as a man couldn't be all over the world. He could only be in one physical location. But when he went to the Father and the Holy Spirit came and the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. Now Jesus did pray for the disciples whenever he came back when he was risen from the dead. He breathed the Holy Spirit into the disciples. But the Holy Spirit then came with power at Pentecost and has never left. And that's why I say when we come to faith in Jesus and we trust in him and we give him our lives and we submit to him as Lord and we're born again, yes, that is wonderful, that is brilliant. We get to go to heaven. That's one of the benefits of being born again. But it's not the end of it. We then need the power to be able to live this life. We then need the power to be able to be encouraged and to be the good witnesses for him. We then need the power to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And that power comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, he left. But the Holy Spirit is not limited to one individual. Because all over the world, not just here in Lisnaskie, not just in the Church of Ireland in Lisnaskie and the people who are born again and Spirit-filled, but all over the world there are people who are Christian, born again, Spirit-filled, empowered by God. And so therefore, they're able to do greater things because it's widespread all over the world. It's not just limited to one place. But let's go back on that. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father." And so he expects us to be doing the same as he did. And that means we preach the gospel. We share our faith. That means we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means that we can cast out demons. That means that we can raise the dead. And those are the things that are identified as being the fruit of the Spirit. And our expectation should be to do the same things as Jesus did. And not just to think about, yes, I'm born again and I'm going to heaven. As wonderful as that is, and that truly is wonderful. Let's not be those who limit ourselves just to think that I'm going to get through, I'm going to get by. Jesus is with me and that's wonderful, and I know him and I know the Father and I know the Holy Spirit, and it's great knowing God, but you know, I just live this life. That's not what Jesus came for. And that's not what he's talking about here. The expectation is we'll do the same things that he did. The expectation is we'll do greater things than he did. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever we ask in his name, he will do. Now these things can only become truth in our lives when we meditate on them, when we spend time with the Lord, when we actually think about what's being said. But it is the truth. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Wow. That is wonderful. And then he says in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So let me read verses 12, 13 and 14 again in completion. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So there he's saying that twice. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Firstly, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And the Father is glorified in the Son in each of us. God gets glory when we do the things of God. God gets glory when we ask for anything in his name. And Jesus does it because he wants to give, he wants to bless, he wants to increase. He wants to increase us in the world. He wants to increase the church throughout the world. He wants us to increase. And he wants us not to live as those who are sick, not to live as those who are hurting, but he wants us to live blessed lives. And he has given us the power to do that through his Holy Spirit. We just need to ask for it. So if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What is it that you need in your life today? What is it that you haven't asked him for? Now, there are other things in this that perhaps we find it difficult to go to God. But we can only find it difficult to go to God if we have a wrong picture of who he is. And that indeed is another sermon, another teaching. But we should be those who are running to the Father, are running to him because we know that he loves us and accepts us, because we know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our right standing before God is not because I've been good today. Our right standing before God is because of what Jesus did on the cross. And even whenever we get it wrong, we can immediately get up and run to the Father, because we're running to the Father because of Jesus, not because of me. And so therefore I can come and ask, Lord, I need. Lord, can you do? And he says he will do it. Now, unfortunately for us, we may be looking at things and saying that unless it happens instantaneously, I'll not believe. And that's probably part of the problem. Sometimes people do get miracles and immediately things happen. But there's other times there's a delay. Now, the delay might be 1 or 2 days, or it could be weeks and months. But the point is, do we believe him? And will we last the course and believe? And just as I said that, there's a thought came to mind. And perhaps because it's relevant living here in Fermanagh. And it's a farming community. Because every single farmer who goes out and plants seed, or maybe not even farmers, just gardeners who go out and plant seed, have no doubt that when it comes to harvest time, which usually is weeks and months away, they will produce a crop and a harvest. They've no doubt about it. Why? Because that is how the seed works. Because the seed goes into the ground and then it produces. And yes, the nutrients are right. And yes, there's water. And it will grow and produce a harvest. Well, the seed also is known as the Word of God. Mark chapter 4 talks about the sower going to sow a seed. But the analogy that Jesus is using in that chapter is talking about the Bible, is talking about the Word, or talking about the words that Jesus spoke. And so therefore the seed will produce. So when we come to Jesus and we ask him for something, believe that you can rely on him because he's God and he wants to bless you always and he wants to work for your good always. Paul said this in Romans, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. God is always working for the good. Jesus is always looking for our good. The Holy Spirit is always working for our good. Never for bad, always for good. So will we come to him who is the way, the truth, and the life? And will we realize that when we come to him, we're coming to the Father, we're coming to the Holy Spirit, we're coming to God. And we can trust him and rely on him. And when we spend time with him and learn from him and listen to him and grow in him, we will grow in the love for him because he first loved us. And as we grow in that love, we will find ourselves sharing that same love with the people that we meet. And the sharing may just be in words, but the sharing equally may be in touching people by laying hands on them. That could be simply shaking hands, but believing that as we do, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not because necessarily the things that we say, but because as Jesus said back in verse 10, he said, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." When you shake hands with somebody, lay hands on somebody, the Spirit of God, the Father, Jesus, who is within you, does the healing power, does the work. Believe what you have and who you have, who is within you, and believe the power that you have. And believe that when you lay hands on people, they will recover because of who it is within you. We will do the same works as Jesus did. And greater works than these shall we do, because he has gone to his Father. And his Father is our Father. So as I close, let us pray to our Father in that prayer that we know. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.